I call a regular meeting of the Mat-Su Borough Assembly to order, August 7th, 2018, at 6:01 p.m. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
I will. Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck will not be present. George McKee.
Here.
Ted Leonard.
Here.
Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty.
Here.
Randall Kowalke.
Present.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Are there any items any assembly member would like to remove from the consent agenda? Assembly Member Kowalke.
I apologize, it's not the consent agenda, the agenda, regular agenda.
Well, you can remove anything from other, you can move to anything else if you'd like.
Yeah, I would like to remove 18-081. And a brief explanation is that's the forest products transportation plan that I had had an ordinance written to repeal. With the current sales going forward in our five-year plan, I want to take a few more weeks to take a look at this and further evaluate it. Thank you.
Okay, so that's under introductions. Is that correct, Mr. Kowalke?
It is.
So it is 18-081. 081 at the bottom of page 7 of 14. Are there any objections to removing this from the agenda from other assembly members? Seeing and hearing none, that one's removed from the agenda. Is there anything else? Any other changes? Yes, Madam Clerk.
I don't have a change, presiding officer. However, we just have noticed that this agenda, when it was copied, is out of order, so we're going to try to get you new copies. Please bear with us. You're going to have to move around a little bit. And not your copy, but the ones the other assembly members have. So we're going to try to get you new copies.
Okay, thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Any other changes from assembly members? Additions, deletions? Okay, thank you very much. Next item is Pledge of Allegiance. Tamara Bowie, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Madam Clerk has a clarification here.
The ones inside your the agenda inside your packet booklet is actually in order. The one that was handed out is the one that is not in order.
Okay, so the next item are minutes of preceding meetings, and we have four of them. Special meeting minutes of June 5th, 2018, the regular meeting of June 5th, 2018, the special meeting of June 19th, and the regular meeting of June 19th, 2018. Are there any members who have any corrections to any of these minutes, corrections, deletions, or changes? Hearing and seeing none, is there any objection to approving all of the minutes that I just read? Hearing and seeing none, all four of those sets of minutes are approved. Next, we have reports and correspondence. And the first one is reports from the cities. I don't see anybody here from Wasilla, so it must be Palmer and Houston. Excuse me. Why? Mayor Cottle, I'm honored.
Thank you, sir. Acting Mayor Sykes, assembly members, I have just a few things tonight. First, this Friday, Saturday, and next Monday, the 13th, the Friends of the Wasilla Library will be having a mega used book sale at the Wasilla Library. One bag of books is $5. If you're a member, you get two bags for $10, so you can actually join and become a member that day. And on August 15th at the Menard Center, we have Stuff the Bus with the United Way, which helps send our kids back to school with all the supplies that they need. And you can call 745-5821 if you need more information. Also, I handed out tonight the Veterans Wall of Honor Relocation Project groundbreaking will be next Friday at 4 p.m. And I hope you can find time to be there for the groundbreaking. Times and everything are there. And then I also handed out a copy of what you did last week on the potential 2018 road bonds projects. I have just a couple comments. I know it ended up being a 50-50 match, that was passed on the final version. As far as I'm concerned, that kills the road bonds. I know we haven't had a lot of luck trying to find $25 million to finish the rail spur, so I don't know how we're going to find $26 million from the government. So I just want to talk about one of the projects that we had on that list, and that was a Herman Road upgrade. That one project I want to talk about, which I'm sure everybody has seen, or at least driven by or seen in the paper, and that's the Sun Mountain development. That development developed out at $60 million. $60 million. So that's probably one of the top 10 in the borough as far as an asset and as far as taxes. So built out, the revenue that borough would receive on your 10.331 is $615,000 a year. That's your revenue that you would have received. The fire department would have received $123,000 a year on the build out. So that total is $738,000 a year revenue back to the borough. Herman Road was supported by DOT, is supported by police, fire, and EMS. Because when I get an accident on that road in that area, I jam up traffic for 7 miles. And when I get an accident down on the Palmer-Wasilla and the Parks Highway Exchange, you all know what happens. I can jam it up longer than that. So without that Herman Road upgrade, what's going to happen when they start developing that out? That calls for another light on the Parks Highway between Herman Road and the Palmer-Wasilla intersection. So knowing, and I remember the quote that was made last week by an assembly member on tongue-in-cheek, so bear with me here. So understanding that Assembly Member Beck, Assembly Member Sykes, Assembly Member Doty, and Assembly Member McGee don't drive on the north side of the borough, so you don't have to worry about the Parks Highway, but the other four of you do. So Assembly Member Kowalki, Mayfield, Leonard, and Mayor Halter, who all drive on that side. So with another light going up on the Parks Highway between Herman Road and Palmer-Wasilla Parks interchange, on a 3-minute light, if you miss that light going and coming down the Parks Highway, if you're unlucky and you miss that light, that's 3 minutes wait at each time you go by there. So figure out the numbers. So that's 6 times a week you can miss that light, which is 30 minutes, with times 52, so that's 1,560 minutes you can sit at that light now. So that's 26 hours of additional wait time for one light. And I know DOT is not real good about synchronizing the lights, so you're not gonna hit them all the time. And we're gonna have to stop that traffic to get that development in. So, I mean, it's not. I know everybody thinks it's all about the sales tax, but that's $738,000 of build out that would happen for you guys. And if you look at your traffic counts, and I've seen the presentations we did on the China development and everything, I mean, we have an excess of an additional 1,500 people a year moving from Anchorage out here. Part of the reason they move out here is because they can commute. We lag down the commute time. That also makes it a question on how many people want to live out here. Last week, I heard a lot about numbers. How many people go on each road in the valley? Between the Parks Highway and the Palmer-Wasilla Highway, that's 50,000 cars plus. And I don't see anybody else's number close to 50,000 cars a day going up and down them two roads. So I'm just saying, it's sad, but I just don't see the money coming from the state side. So anyway, when you're sitting at the light, anyway, I think there was another alternative. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Cottle. I would agree that our process may have been a little flawed when we were going through the road bonds. However, there is a possibility there will be some oil money, and you know, I think that we can still talk to our legislators and see it's important, because that's not the only state road that these things connected, and we did approve all of those projects that connected state roads. So maybe the 50-50 match may prove not to be beneficial, but we're going to fight for them, and I really appreciate your input. Next, is there anybody here from City of Palmer? Don't see anybody. City of Houston. Matsu Borough School District, Superintendent Goyette.
Good evening. I just wanted to let you know that next Thursday, August 16th, is the first day of school for first grade through 12th grade. We do take the first week of school. We do kindergarten roll-in. We bring kindergartners in and just assess their needs and make sure that as we're putting together their education plan, if there's additional things that they need, that we're identifying those early out of the gate. So they'll be starting the following Thursday. And we're projecting just over 19,000 students this year, 19,040. And as of this evening at 5 o'clock, we were at 14,800. And it seems like that may seem like we're a long ways off, but this time of year, it is not uncommon for us to roll between 800 and 1,000 students every single night. Between yesterday evening at 5 and today at 5, we gained 800. And so I am thinking with the development that we've been seeing going on that there's a chance that we might be over projection. So we're looking forward to that. I feel like it's always a mini census for you and for our community to know what that's going to look like and really an indicator of our economic health here in the Valley. So here's hoping we'll be over projection. And finally, I provided you with a list of open house schedules so that if you wanted to stop by and see your schools, you wouldn't have to go digging through all the websites of schools that are in your areas. And please know that our doors are always open to you. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Superintendent Goyette. We look forward to a very productive and very good year for the school district. Does anybody else have any public relations reports? Oh, wait a minute. I skipped one. The Joint Assembly School Board Committee report. There isn't one. The meeting was canceled because we are going to meet jointly with the school board on September 11th, I believe it is. So we're going to take up the issues that would have been on that agenda on September 11th. So do any other assembly members have any public relations report? Well, I have one, and I will be right back with the public relations. Last Thursday, I attended the Matsu Health Foundation's celebration of getting the statewide smoke-free workplace law passed. And they passed out awards to people who had worked on it for years, all kinds of people all over the borough, including Janet Kincaid, who served many, many years here at the borough. She was the first one to have her business go smoke-free at the Valley Hotel. But I want to present this to the assembly members, because we actually got an award too for being part of that effort. This assembly did put a 55% tax on vapes, which is a different tobacco delivery method, and we also passed a resolution for the state law to pass the statewide smoke-free ordinance. So statewide smoke-free means that it applies to the workplace. It doesn't take away people's rights to smoke, but it's a take it outside kind of thing, and everybody was pretty pleased by that. So, assembly members, here's your award from the Matsu Health Foundation. Next item is manager comments. Manager Moosey, do you have any reports?
Yes, we have a lot going on. We have, as you noticed, somebody ordered too much rain, so it's having some effect on us. So at first I'd like to have Director Dolan come and talk about the flooding, potential flooding and infrastructure, and then followed up by Director Feather on the safety regarding these events, or future events.
Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works. Each of you should have a copy of a very short briefing. I put it up there in your spots, and there's some in the back for the public if they're interested in taking a look at them. I'm going to start on the second page, Flood Management Authority. Bottom line is that the borough does not have area-wide flood management authority. We do have two special service areas within which we exercise some authority to work on flood protection equipment or erosion protection facilities. And outside of that, we have very little authority. Most of that flood management authority is retained by the Army Corps of Engineers. The borough can protect property that it owns and roadways that we own. That authority we do have, but we do not have the authority to protect private property during a flood. And if you turn to the next page, I'll give you a little bit of an update of what's happening right now. It says current situation on it. You can see there the National Weather Service's flood advisory for rivers and streams in the borough. It lasts until 10:45 tomorrow morning, and really the heaviest precipitation has fallen along the Denali Highway and in the Hatcher Pass area. Two nights ago, it was up along the Glen Highway, and we've already seen that water move through the area for the most part, but we're going to get another surge potentially. With as much rain we had this afternoon, there is some minor flooding going on, and I'll talk about that in a second. It certainly could be much worse if we get additional rain tonight. There's a list on that page also of the different rivers that are showing some minor flooding or are at their banks full. Bottom line, anybody that lives in a flood-prone area along any of our rivers ought to have a plan to move to higher ground if necessary, although we're not aware of anyone being inundated except some really very few areas. If you turn to the next page, you'll see borough observations. You can see on there what we saw on Monday, flooding along Eska Creek, Sheep Creek, and the Little Sioux, and also the Talkeetna River. Most of the other rivers and creeks were at their banks full. And we saw some road damage occur on Moose Meadows Road just off of the Little Sioux. The road was cut. The water, though, receded very rapidly on Monday, and so we were able to repair that road and get residents through on the same day. Then today, you can see I wrote in their action stage. What action stage is the level of water just below minor flood stage. It's typical to have low-lying areas along rivers and creeks have water in them, but typically no man-made structures would be inundated at action stage. We are seeing a little bit of flooding and water overtopping Schrock out near the Little Sioux, north of Wasilla, up towards the Little Sioux. So you may run into that out there, but we're not aware of any major flooding at this point. But it certainly could be worse if we get additional rain overnight. Pending your questions.
Good evening, Otto Feather, Director of Emergency Services. We remain postured to support any efforts that are required to conduct rescue operations. We are receiving some telephone calls from people who are concerned about the rising water. All of our chiefs and duty officers in all of the different fire service areas or rescue areas throughout the borough are ready and available to go out and check out any of those calls that come in. They do so, go out, they advise and make sure that people are aware that though we don't have any ability to direct people to evacuate or order evacuations, if they're in a situation where there's concern, we urge them to leave before it becomes a dire issue. We have not seen any places where there are dire issues. There are some pretty significant inconveniences out there for folks. But we are postured and ready to do recovery operations. We'd like to do it before it gets to a crisis. So we urge people, if they need help, to make contact with us, and we'll do what we can to get them out. Our boats are all ready to go. Our firefighters and rescue operators are ready to go. We have a number of large vehicles with high clearances that we can get to most of the areas that people are having concerns. But as Terry said, we don't see anything in the forecast right now that's going to cause us to have a significant incident of concern. Any your questions?
Thank you, Otto.
Thank you.
At the last meeting, which is a special meeting, I informed the assembly of enacting an emergency declaration based in borough code. I need to inform you that during a regular meeting as per code. In addition, it's in the back and on table. Myself and Mayor Halter on August 3rd signed a disaster declaration with request for state assistance that was sent to the governor. So that has gone out. What this will allow us to do is to request potential assistance and funding from the state of Alaska. They are meeting, not this Friday, but next Friday on this issue. Also, too, we have acquired insurance for these type of instances, and we are working with the insurance company. They have been assigned to work with us to review our contracts to make sure they're potentially eligible for insurance coverage, and to do a full forensics review on our items. Now, the FBI has been in from day one doing a forensics review, but they are looking for criminal behavior and trying to find the culprits of this. The insurance is looking, making sure our systems and how our systems protected and how our data has been protected. So that will probably take about 4 to 5 weeks for them to do the full forensics, because, and we don't have any evidence of this, but if there is some private information that has been taken or lost, then we have some responsibility to inform. We don't know that as of yet. We don't see any evidence, but forensics will do that, as well as putting the system. So at this time, I'd like Director Eric Wyatt, of our IT director, to kind of give us a status report on how we're putting this stuff back together.
Hi, Eric Wyatt, Director of IT here at the Borough. As we have dug deeper into the attack, we're finding that this is a very, very sophisticated attack. And because of that, additional caution is necessary. Additional forensics is necessary. We have identified some of the virus types, but in this kind of attack, there may be other things that we have not identified yet, could lay hidden and could hinder our ability to come back online. We have engaged with people that are top in this industry on how to combat these things. This is a global company, and they have done literally hundreds of these throughout the country and the world. We are finding that, as I'd mentioned before, we, the borough, were not specifically targeted, but we're finding that this particular group is targeting local governments quite frequently. So we are the type of targets that they like to attack. So we are taking our time to do the forensic analysis to make sure that our new systems, as we bring them up, are going to be completely clean, and really try to not have the same kind of attack happen right away after we're back online. And I believe that we'll be successful in that again because of the type of people that we're engaging. At this point, we've made an awful lot of progress towards rebuilding the infrastructure. This is difficult in our situation because part of our infrastructure has to be segmented off to save as evidence. As we've been talking about the forensics by the FBI and the insurance company, I've got to save all of the data and all of the systems that were affected, segment off a portion of our network, and then build out a clean network. And so that slows our efforts as well, because I'm having to split our equipment. We are getting a tremendous amount of support from the community. In fact, I believe I mentioned last week that the school district had recently decommissioned some equipment. And so it's out of warranty, but it still works. And they've given that to us. So that has greatly increased our ability to save the data and to move forward. At this time, we've got much of our infrastructure necessary to rebuild the network in place and almost ready. We have cleaned almost all of our 500 workstations, and we've got about half of them put back online. Now, they're online without full capability, but it is giving our workers here in the borough the ability to start doing some work again. In the data recovery area, we've made some huge breakthroughs. And where we thought we might have lost some of our financial data to this attack, we find that we've got accurate data right up to the day prior to the attack. Also, we thought we might have lost a few months of data from our governance system, which has all of our taxation and parcel information. And that, too, has been recovered right up to the date before the attack. So a few of our very major critical systems in the borough, we will be able to get back online in reasonably short order. I'm hoping that by next Monday, those systems will start to be in the hands of our employees again, so we can get back to normal business. Along with that, we have found some of the data and some of the services that we've been able to put online for the public to use. So our website continues to remain up. Our My Property site, which is used very heavily by our citizenry, is up. It's got data that is not real-time data anymore, but it's within a reasonable amount of time, within a few weeks. And we've got the parcel viewer, or a version of the parcel viewer online. So a lot of people like to use that mapping utility. The Find My School utility that we put together recently, we were able to put that back online as well, just in time for kids to start to go back to school. And I believe that's been a great help to our school district partners. So I would like to answer questions if you've got any, yes, sir.
Assemblymember Kowalki.
Yes, through the chair. As I'm in one of the more remote areas in the borough, considering that Palmer's the center of the wheel and moving out, people rely on Willow, Trapper Creek, Talkeetna, for particularly Talkeetna and Willow, for the ability to do things. And I guess as of yesterday, the library still has no Wi-Fi, can't print, can't do a number of things. Do you have any idea if we're going to be recovered in this area at the center of the wheel soon, how long it'll be before these outlying stations are operable?
Okay. Yes, through the chair. We have recovered capability for much of the outlying areas. We've got telephones to all but a handful of our 46 borough sites. Telephones are in place. We've gotten a number of workstations back in place. I'm going to have to check specifically on the Wi-Fi in the library. I know that we have not reestablished Wi-Fi in many of the remote stations because of security risks, but I will certainly check on that and get back
to you. As of a few days ago, both Talkeetna and Willow had no Wi-Fi, and as I understand it, we're not able to print a network print, so that's the up-to-the-minute field report.
And printing, we're getting back online even today. We're starting to get some of the printing in this building, and we're going to work out from here. So,
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, through the chair, to Mr. White. Can you give us an idea about Borough Assembly specific document availability and what that might look like in terms of a timeline? So in terms of the materials that we use to inform the public of what we're doing business-wise?
So the, and I may refer to Lonnie, on the location of those documents?
If I understood your question correctly, we are doing the normal mode of notifying the public of the meetings. We are putting it in the Frontiersman. The packet is online. It's not out on Granicus, but it's a PDF of the file out on the assembly page. So that stuff is out there, and we're still doing our advertising. It's been a little bit more difficult, but we're getting it done.
Mm-hmm. And so, and again, I think in general, a lot of these services look healthier next week, and we should probably be within 2 weeks, kind of to an 80% capability. So we'll start to see this stuff come back online as quickly as we can.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
thank you, Assemblymember Sykes. Through the chair, to actually the manager and Director Wyatt. Just as we move forward in rebuilding our systems, I want to be mindful of the fact that, you know, we can't do things the way that we have done in the past and expect to have different results. So we may have to build a stronger system. And I'm sure you're aware of this, but that's definitely my thoughts on this, is that we do need to build a stronger system. We're going to probably have to make the financial investment to do that. And really, that's all I had.
Yes, sir. If I may speak to that. As we rebuild our system, right now, all of the plans that I'm making to come back with the system, we are using DOD standards of security. These are going to be very tight standards. And that will hinder some of our day-to-day operations just because we know how tight they are. We've got a number of people in the borough that have DOD experience and understand this, but that is also one of the tightest networks in the world. So we are going to start with those tight standards and then we will try to make educated decisions about backing off on any of those security standards as we begin to work in the new environment.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, and through the chair. Just a follow-up on that. I work in the healthcare industry, and the security base for my system that is fairly tight because it's healthcare is located on the East Coast. And the result of that is that there's a significant wait time because of the security system. Is there going to be an issue related to wait time because of the upgraded standards for security?
Yes, ma'am, there will be probably slower operations, certainly in the beginning, as we use these very tight standards. The base of it will be here, but we will be slowed down in some of our tasks initially, and that's where I hope that we can look to find ways to improve that, but that may be relaxing certain standards, but we will only do so if we feel completely confident that we can protect our data going forward.
Any other questions from assembly members? Mr. Manager? Thank you, okay. Mr. Wyatt.
Thank you, Eric. So one of the things that, and we're doing this, and we're putting this back together, but our mission here is to serve the public. And with that, with Eric and working with the insurance company and the works that they do, DES Emergency Services is helping us and working with our directors to prioritize, because some of these tools cannot be up right away, but how do we continue to service and improve services out to our citizens? And so that is also the mission that we're going forward. So it's just not let's fix this, but while we're fixing this, what services and how quickly can we get our services standing up out to the public who we're charged to serve. The last thing I have, and I know we didn't have great news, but I have fabulous news for you folks who did not know, that this week the Mat-Su Miners won the Top of the World Series, third straight year. It's a dynasty, I think. So hats off to the organization, and it's a steamroller out there. So games are fun, so I encourage you to go next year. Go early because they're filling up the bleachers and the seats pretty quickly this year.
Just to check, Mr. Manager, nothing on state or federal legislation or strategic planning issues?
Did you hear maybe that our email's not working real well?
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I don't have any state or federal issues today.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. The miners, I was talking to them as they were handing out free tickets before their playoff games, and I ended up talking to the pitcher. We had a great conversation. I shook hands with him. At the end of the conversation, it's like, oh, this guy's hands are really strong. Of course, a pitcher, but they did a great job. Congratulations to the Mat-Su Miners. Next on the agenda, attorney comments. Mr. Spropoulos, do you have anything to report?
Very little to report. As the manager noted, email is down, our system is down, our database is down. We're monitoring our court cases off of court view to make sure we try not to miss any deadlines. Hopefully the courts will be forgiving if we are. But we're assisting in the endeavor, working with risk management, helping IT when they ask for it. And so just we're kind of in the boat with everybody else.
Any questions for the attorney? Okay, thank you, Mr. Spropoulos. Madam Clerk, do you have any report?
Just that the clerk's report is in your red, or not red folder, it is sitting in front of you with the upcoming meetings through October.
Okay, any other citizen or other correspondence? There being no other citizen and other correspondence. Madam Clerk, will you please read informational memorandums into the record?
I will. IM 18123, reporting a conclusion of contract for bid number 18121B to McKenna Brothers Paving Incorporated for Big Lake recycled asphalt material. IM 18124, reporting a conclusion for contract for bid 17031P to Howdy Incorporated for the Station 73 Design Build, project number 45254-10184. IM 18129, reporting a conclusion of contract for bid number 17107B to Western Construction and Equipment LLC for Foothills Boulevard at Lucille Creek Fish Passage.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Are there any comments on the informational memorandums? Seeing and hearing none, they are presented as read. Special orders, are there any special orders? We sort of already did one. Public hearings. We have reached public hearings. There are sign-up sheets in the back of the room, and you'll have 3 minutes to testify on each item. The first item on the agenda is Ordinance 18-073. And Madam Clerk, would you read the ordinance, please?
An ordinance report reappropriating $16,667 from the fiscal year 2016 Capital Projects Budget Fund 480 to Fund 440, Project Number 20203, for the Rybarczyk Colony Farm Certified Local Government Grant.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. I will open the public hearing. Are there any sign-ups under persons? Are there any sign-ups for the public hearing? Is there anybody else who would like to make a comment on 18073, an ordinance reappropriating $16,667 from fiscal year 2016 capital projects budget for the Rybarczyk Colony Farm Certified Local Government Grant? Going once. Would you like to speak, sir?
I think I got a different issue. I think you're asking for something.
This is a reappropriation. It's actually a transfer of funds that exist for getting the Rybarczyk Colony Farm Certified Local Government Grant.
And that's all it's for, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have another one. Okay. Thank you very much. If there are no other people who wish to talk about this, I'll close the public hearing. Assembly Member Leonard, would you please move the legislation?
Yes, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 18-073.
Thank you very much, Assembly Member Leonard. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to passage as read into the record? Seeing and hearing no objection, the legislation is approved. Madam Clerk, would you please read Ordinance 18-080 into the record?
An ordinance eliminating the sunset provisions for the distribution of motor vehicle tax and eliminating the sunset provisions of the permanent motor vehicle registration and permanent registration of non-commercial trailers to allow such registrations to continue.
Thank you very much. I will now open the public hearing, and we do have a sign-up list. This is for eliminating sunset provisions for distribution of motor vehicle tax. The first name on the list is Donna Massey. Following Donna Massey, next on deck is Mark Kreisen.
Thank you. I'm against extending this and making it permanent. One thing is, when you look at the financial analysis, it's really pretty slight. You have one completed year where the income dropped $330,000. There's an estimated drop the next year for $837,000. And this is money that goes to the RSAs, or that would be going to the RSAs. So that's a hit we're taking collectively. And we don't know where this loss is going to bottom out. We only have one closed year. We have an estimated year for 2018. We don't know where it's going in 2019, 2020, and what the lost tax revenue is really going to be from this. You know, an eight-year-old vehicle really isn't old. This is how this works in my family. I've got three sets of adult kids. They're reasonably mature. They have adequate resources. They have, between the three sets, they have six primary cars. Of those six cars, three are over 8 years old with P-tags. They have four trailers among them with P-tags. And these are, you know, I mean, I'm not blaming them for taking advantage of the provision. But that's not how this provision was originally introduced. It was originally passed as something for the old plow truck, you know, that's sitting in the guy's backyard, and he uses it a couple times a year on the road, and the trailer in the backyard that's just used to go to the dump. And that is not the way I see it working. It's going towards vehicles that are up and down our roads all the time. All right. Now, the money is lost to the RSA. So what's going to happen to the RSAs? You know, we're struggling. We don't get state revenue sharing resources and grants like we used to. That's all gone with the budget crisis. So you're asking the taxpayers of the RSAs to absorb an unknown amount of money to benefit another little taxpayer area in the RSA. They're taking advantage of this. And I really don't see the equity in that. I don't see the fairness. I don't see why that's reasonable. We were here in April talking about how huge it was going to be to the port to collect those dockage and wharfage fees and lease from the Chijik sale. And that totaled 900 some thousand, just under $1 million a year. And we're talking an estimated loss to the IRSAs of 837,000 this year. I don't see where it's equitable, because that's going to be a taxpayer burden. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Massey. Mark Kreisen, and following Mark Kreisen, Eugene Carl Haberman. Welcome, Mr. Kreisen. Please state your name before you talk.
Okay, my name is Mark Kreisen. I'm from Wasilla. I'm a private citizen. I do not, I'm not dependent upon government money of any type to subsidize my living. Most of you on the assembly, I know personally. Jim, I think I was one of the first ones to sign your petition when you ran for governor the first time. But anyway, I'm in favor of this removing the sunset. I've got two vehicles. Both the youngest one is 20 years old. I'm doing everything I can to keep that vehicle on the road, and putting another $200 a year in for license tags is basically going to make me buy something I cannot afford. And the economy is in the pits. Alaska's got the worst economy. We've got a very high unemployment rate. And you're trying to go in and make people over on the lower end of the income go and take another hit in their pocket. As for the lady who testified before me, she said she's got kids and they've got P tags. The P tag is for 65 and older people only. Now, how are her kids all over 65? That would mean that they're all older than I am. And I'm well into my 60s now. But I'm in favor of removing the sunset. Keep the Z tags, keep the P tags. You're just harming the economy of those of us who live here and want to continue to live here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kreisen. Eugene Carl Haberman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. The public process is done appropriately. The decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. Regarding Ordinance Serial Number 18-OAO that's before you tonight, I plead with you to continue public hearing for this one and every decision in this meeting. Why? As I reported to the 4 o'clock meeting, I did not see a packet of this meeting until 1:50 this afternoon due to the way it's been noticed. It's not business as usual. It's an emergency. It's complicated the public to follow what's going on. It's no hurt to the borough to allow for additional opportunity and to reconsider the other matters. Now, on this matter to tax scenario, okay, as far as sunset and all and monies and and how this is going to affect the borough budget. I remind you, too, is we still do not know the cost of what we're in this crisis. Tonight, $806,000 on the borough's cost right now with the crisis we're in with the technology. It's climbing with unknown when it's going to end. And right here, we got a item talking about reducing the scenario. And is this the time of reducing and giving credits right now when we don't know really what our budget really is because of this crisis we're in and the Assembly fails to hold an emergency meeting to deal with that crisis and approve the funding of that? So I plead with you again, do not approve this at this time. Continue it to give chance for the public to digest. Also connect with what is the financial cost of where we're in right now dealing with the IT scenario. Okay, and that would I would recommend that on all the items on this agenda, including the one that you just approved earlier. Thank you very much, and that's 1 minute and 1 second to spare, but I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Mr. Haberman. You can thank that time. Thanks. I'd like to ask Assemblymember Mayfield to take over the gavel because I would like to enter the discussion on this. Mr. Mayfield? I guess I better close the public hearing before I do this. Is there anybody else who would like to comment on this issue of the motor vehicle sunset tax? Hearing and seeing none, I'll close the public hearing.
Thank you, Assemblymember Sykes. Can we have a motion to a motion on Ordinance 18-080?
I move to adopt Ordinance 18-080, and I'd like to speak to it, please.
Go ahead.
Yes, the idea of this whole thing, I guess, as I understood the history, and certainly there are probably people in the audience who may know it better than I do, but Senator Bill Stoltz, I think, was originally involved with a statewide effort. As it moved to the borough, I think former Assemblyman Jim Culver worked on it here at the borough. I became aware several months ago that this was set to expire, and I absolutely support removing the sunset provision in here. I think it's aimed at an audience that is very much benefited by folks who can't afford to be licensing these older vehicles, and it's, I think, an onerous tax for those who can least afford it, and that's why I urge your support for this ordinance.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes, thank you. I'm not necessarily opposed to the concept, but when we passed this, we didn't really have an understanding of how it was going to affect the road service areas. And actually, as we sit here tonight trying to decide whether or not we should lift the sunset clause, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. We still don't know those things. I did hear from the secretary of the board, big board of all the road service areas, and they were interested in considering this, and they're not going to meet until next week, I don't believe. So I would like to actually ask that we postpone this at least to our next meeting so that we can, I think that'll be enough time for the big board to meet and at least get their input on it, and maybe even the Transportation Advisory Board, because I believe they meet this week. I'd like to really understand from the Finance Department how whether we've made money, lost money, and by each individual area. This originally was came up, and it was correct. Some member Kowalki was correct. It came up at a meeting in Big Lake, and I asked the question. I said, "Well, what? How have you figured out how to allocate these funds? Because they're all separated out by road service areas." And there wasn't a good explanation. But the next regular meeting, they came. There was a whole new list with different numbers, and there was still no justification for how the funds were being distributed. And so I think that we should have a common understanding of what the effect has been before we approve this. And so I would move to postpone this to August 21, which is our next regular meeting.
Okay. We have a motion to postpone until August 21st. I've heard an objection. Any further discussion?
I have a question.
Thank you.
When is the expiration of this to take effect?
December
31st. December 31st, okay. So we're postponing. It doesn't influence anything right now. That's okay, thank you.
Assembly Member Doty.
I speak in support of postponing. I also don't think that we have adequate financial information. I like the concept behind this ordinance. I do not like the idea that we're looking at just continuing indefinitely. And I would entertain the concept of perhaps extending it one more year so we can get better data.
Any further discussion? So on the motion to postpone, do I hear any objection?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard an objection, so let's go ahead and put it on the board.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes.
Well, it is a tie vote, so it fails, and let me get this tie vote. Bear with me just a second. In support was Assemblymember Sykes, Assemblymember Doty, and Assemblymember McKee. Opposed is Assemblymember Kowalki, Assemblymember Leonard, and Assemblymember Mayfield. Main motion is still on the floor.
So just for clarification, maybe you said this, Madam Clerk, so the motion failed, is that correct?
It did fail. Tie votes fail.
Okay, thank you. So we're still open for debate on the main ordinance. Any further comments? Assemblymember McKee.
I call a question.
My understanding is we need to vote on calling a question. Assemblymember Doty, did you have some comment?
Not to the question.
Madam Clerk, could you restate that on this one?
When the question's been called, you got to go directly to vote. You cannot debate it.
Thank you.
So, yes.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes.
Yeah, voting on calling the question. Is it not registering? Okay, there we go. And that also fails because it requires five votes. We've got Assemblymember McKee, Assemblymember Kowalki, Assemblymember Leonard, and Assemblymember Mayfield in support, along with Assemblymember Sykes and Assemblymember Leonard opposed. No, Doty is not showing up on the board, however. So we got, yours was a no. Thank you. No.
So
it requires five votes.
So this is kind of an unusual situation. Assemblymember Sykes.
Well, I would ask my fellow assembly members to simply reconsider their votes, and I move to postpone until we get some information on the 21st of August. And if one of you would change your vote, we can have information and still have a vote. So I would urge one of you to reconsider. Thank you.
Is there any further delay, debate or reconsideration? Hearing none. Is there any objection to the legislation? Having seen objection, let's go ahead and put it on the board.
Assembly Member Sykes.
Yes.
You're voting yes for the main motion?
Yes.
Thank you. And I am sorry, I'm going to do a roll call vote because we are having problems with our board. Bear with me.
I'm confused. Could you just clarify what we're doing?
Right now we are on the main motion to adopt the legislation.
So there was no more debate or discussion about it, is that correct? not what I understood.
So right now we are voting on the main motion, and I've got to do a roll call vote because we're not getting all the votes up on the board. So Assemblymember Doty.
Because of the lack of discussion, no.
Assemblymember Leonard.
Yes.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Yes.
Assemblymember Kowalki.
Yes.
Assemblymember McKee.
Yes.
And it passed with Assemblymember Doty opposed.
Thank you. Assemblymember Sykes, would you like to take over the presiding officer again?
All right, our next agenda item is audience participation. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you'd like to speak on any subject that comes to your mind, you've got 3 minutes, and we do have a list. First on the list, I actually have two people, Chris and Mary Dierman. We'll take one at a time, I guess. Okay. Please state your name and go ahead.
I'm Chris Dierman, and I live over off Pamela Drive in Wasilla. My issue is with my tax assessment this year. I've been deployed since January to a classified location in Africa. My wife is also still serving. I'm a disabled veteran, and I deploy and support Air Force units in the drone program. I spend approximately 4 to 6 months out of country, so I didn't get an opportunity to rebut this, and neither my wife, because she's been gone too. So when I got back in July, and I got this piece of mail, because somebody's been picking my mail up, I called the borough office, the assessor's office, to ask about this, and they said, if you didn't rebut it, sorry, there's nothing we can do. When I bought my house, I paid $300,000 for it. It assessed at $228,000 on the borough value. My tax exemption, because I'm a disabled vet, is $218,000. My net tax was $10,000. Somebody, I don't know who, one of the assessors who no longer works for the borough, assumed that I finished my home when, in fact, I haven't even driven a nail in it. I didn't get an opportunity to address this until I got back, and then when I did, I get, there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can do. All I want somebody to do is make it right. My house is 70% finished. It was on the borough assessment as being 70% finished, and somebody on the assessment side made the assumption that I finished it, and I didn't. So when, in fact, I haven't even been here to do anything to it. If in fact I can't get like a reassessment or an ability to address this issue, how do we fix this problem where people in my situation can address it when they do come off of an appointment? So I don't know what I got to do. I've contacted the assessor. I've contacted Barbara. She said she couldn't help me because it was an issue that I don't remember what term you used.
Semi-judicial.
Yeah, that's what she used. And that she couldn't help me, so she referred me back to assessments. I've talked to the assessor, and all I get is, sorry, nothing we can do. Now, if I didn't pay my taxes, and I couldn't afford to pay my taxes, and you guys assessed my home, and I called you up and said, sorry, there's nothing I can do, what would you do to me? You would assess my house, you'd make me pay that tax, or you would foreclose on me, or whatever it is that you do, put a lien against my land. I'm just asking somebody to do the right thing. That's all. Thank you.
Assembly member, sure. Go ahead.
I do have a question for you, sir. Have you brought this to the borough manager's attention?
I actually talked to Barbara first. I sent her an email. I tried to call her. I didn't realize she was a doctor at the time until I got her email. Yeah. And I think I called the mayor's office and asked, and I left a message, and I didn't get a response. And I don't know if you got that message or not. That's kind of irrelevant.
Has he got you?
But, so I don't know. I've been pointed to the assessor's office.
No, no.
So
look, let me make a suggestion to you. The borough manager is right there, and it looks like you've been all around him, and I think he may be the one who can address your concerns.
Okay,
sir.
Well, nobody told me that, so that's why I'm here. I'm trying to get the right answer. That's all. So if that's who I need to call, I can contact you if you'd like.
You sent an email to the mayor, and we actually did get it. I'll get a hold of you.
Okay. All right. I didn't send him an email. I actually tried to call him and left him a message. So I will send you an email then, if that's okay with you, to the mayor. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Van Cleve is next.
I'm not going to rant and rave quite as much as I did last time. Mostly I'm just in to thank Jim for your ordinance amendment to borough serial number 18021. I just want to ask all the members up there to adopt his revisions and also to again state all my unhappiness with the commercial racetrack next door to my residential property. I am pleased that it's a bit more decorum this night. So again, please try to listen to Mr. Sykes' recommendations. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Van Cleve. Next is Eugene Carl Haberman. Let me turn the sheet upside down. Let me see if I can speed this up, Mr. Robertson.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. Follow the public process. The public process done appropriately. The decision made by the governing body is more like the public interest. I guess I was informed just a few minutes ago the crisis that we're dealing with IT started the 24th. That's approximately 2 weeks in a crisis with no emergency meeting by the borough assembly to review the situation and to review funding for the situation, approve funding. Your responsibility is to approve the borough budget. You have public hearings, but there are times when you need to go back into the budget, look at it, and decide what to deal with a situation which the borough is going on. A few minutes before 4 o'clock, the borough manager passed out another declaration, and in closing it said further in a sign that the municipal Matanuska Sitna Borough has expended to date local resources in the amount of estimated $806,000 with cost continuing to grow rapidly as a result of this disaster emergency. Again, why aren't you taking your responsibility that you have to deal with the budget, this crisis, and review the financial matters and approve or not approve? You cannot be doing this, but you are. I've warned you, informed you about this situation a week ago at the borough assembly meeting. What you conducted is a policy indifference and ignore what I said and had no comments on it. I informed you at the 4 o'clock meeting today. I informed you tonight. I also informed you the situation is because of this IT crisis, it's not business as usual, and you're treating these meetings and providing information to the public to attend and connect as business as usual when the connection with the public and getting this information has been quite different from before. The borough packet I did not see until 1:50 this afternoon. Yes, it's on the website, buried somewhere. Had it not been one party who had a conversation with outside of the borough, I found out where it was. But this is not connecting with the public appropriately. But you do this scenario. It's got to stop. But again, where is that emergency meeting? You're responsible for the borough budget, you have public hearings, and to this date, we've got another note here coming in, and we should be getting written reports from IT, not this verbal scenario, so everyone could see this stuff in black and white and the costs. Now, I realize there's time restraints. People are involved with the crisis. But then, with this crisis, does not give you the right to not connect with the public appropriately, provide the responsibility of holding these emergency meetings, and delays these decisions that you've done tonight, and without giving a more fairer chance for the public to address and connect like what you have done. And I've asked you before not to do it, but you'd ignore it. And just closing, just end these words. I noticed you allowed a chance for the public to be questioned by you in audience participation, but over the years you're silent, and I think this quite unfair. You need to address what I say. You need to deal with it. I'm not going away, as you've seen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haberman. Now let's see. Oh, it's Tom Robers. Oh, excuse me, Dan. Assemblymember Mayfield, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Presiding Officer. I would like to be given the opportunity just to, I realize this isn't a time for us to really to respond to public comment, but I do think it's important for the public to know that the manager has emergency funds that are budgeted, and so he has those in his budget. And when he declares a declaration of emergency, as he has in this case, that frees up the access to that to those monies. And therefore, an assembly meeting was not necessarily required, other than I do understand he was required to announce the emergency, and we didn't take a vote on that necessarily, but you were required to announce that there was in fact an emergency, and he did have access to the emergency funds within his budget. So that's where that money has come from so far. There may be some future appropriations, of which I have no idea what amount that would be at that point in time, but certainly we'll expect reports on that and why that's necessary in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Mayfield. We are still in audience participation, and Mr. Roberson, you are next. Please state your name.
I got to sneak up on the mic. Hi, I'm Tom Roberson. I thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you again tonight. For several months, I've been working on a proposition to save the borough hundreds of thousands of dollars, a lot of money, in reference to an emergency standpipe or emergency fill station, we call it, in the Wasilla Pool that's under construction right now. Today, if you go over there, the whole concrete thing is all torn up. There's no concrete floor on the bottom of the pool. Now is a golden opportunity, probably a lifetime opportunity, to put the emergency drain pipe under the deep section of the pool, and it'll go out about 20 feet, maybe a little more, out to the outside. It'll look like a fire hydrant on the outside when you attach it. And if fire departments can drain the water from the deep end in emergency by themselves, one firefighter, one truck, and they're gone. It's that simple. I'm retired from the National Guard. I've done civil defense all over the state of Alaska, and I taught firefighting at the community college in Kenai, where we had the fire schools before, and when I was with the Nikiski Fire Department. So I've used these before, and I've been all over the state encouraging people to put these pipes in the ground. You got one chance to do it. Next year will be too late. They're going to come dig it back up to put this in here. And I went to Ferguson, the commercial pipe company down here in Wasilla, and asked him how much a piece of pipe would cost, 20-foot section, 6-foot, 6-inch pipe, Schedule 80, which is a thicker, stronger pipe, and flexible for earthquake. That's another thing. It has to be ductile or carrier, or that's what they call the pipe. Anyways, so that's like a $500 for a pipe. That's not my contractor's pipe. That's what they would charge me. So less than $1,000, you can put this drain in. That is a whole lot cheaper than a fire truck. I guarantee you that's a cheaper way to go. The emergency borough says, their management says, it'd be $100,000 engineering this. Excuse me. That's not true. But still, even if it was, that's way cheaper than another fire truck. We had this problem down in Soldotna about 25 years ago, where they had a big fire, and the fire department drained the city water tank dry overnight and left the city without water. And it was a big water tank, like the water tank that's at the corner of Lucille and Wasilla, Lucille and Spruce in Wasilla. It was a big water tank. They drained that whole thing dry in one night, in one fire. So this could happen. It hasn't happened here. We haven't had an emergency in 60 years, but someday we will. Someday we'll have a national disaster. With a little prior planning like this, we can take the sting out of a crisis. We can take the emergency out of a national disaster by having emergency fire water. The trucks can draw the water out if need be, which would have helped in Sedona. If the pool is dry, you can do like we did in Hurricane Katrina. You can take water from Talkeetna, Willow, Butte, Sutton. You can bring, the fire trucks can bring water in and use the pool as emergency fill station, I'll call it. So it's a savings, win-win. I'm out of time.
Thank you very much,
Any
Mr.
Robinson.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
It'll save you money.
Okay. Got it. Got the message. Next on the list, Donna Massey. Please state your name.
Thank you. Donna Massey from Trapper Creek. I'd like to thank you for postponing the ordinance 18081 regarding to the timber transportation permit. I think you've probably received correspondence from me on it. I don't really want to testify to that since it's been postponed or whatever you did with it. But I would like to tell you how well the process did work. This is the safety plan that Denali Timber Management submitted. And to say it was inadequate would be an understatement. It says right here it was a general guidance document. And that's all it was. It didn't have details, it didn't have site distances, it didn't have speed analysis, it had nothing. And in the 30-day public comment period, between the public comments, interested people, the responsiveness of the personnel working at it in the borough, we came up with a lot of concessions that greatly improved and enhanced the safety of moving that timber down Oil Well Road. So I'm telling you, the process worked. I really hate the thought of throwing it out. If there are things that need to be improved, I say let's improve them. But please do not throw the safety plan out and keep the public input. We have a lot of common sense. We live in these areas. You know, when we know, you know, the timber was going to happen, let's make it work the best way we can for all of us. And you can only do that through a process like this. So I hope that as going forward and this comes up, that you keep that in mind. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Massey, and thanks for coming all the way from Trapper Creek. Anybody else like to speak on any subject for 3 minutes? Please come up to the microphone, state your name for the record. Jake, is it, I believe?
Yeah. Thank you. My name is Jake Almeida. I'm here on behalf of myself. I have a quick question for Mrs. Spiropoulos. Is the borough allowed to have an official statement opinion on ballot measures that will be coming up for the Save Alaska?
Perhaps the clerk can answer that question. There is a provision for it.
On state ballot measures?
Yes, I'm referring to ballot measure one.
For the borough?
Yeah, can the borough come up with a statement with all of your signatures if you wanted to?
Assemblymember Sykes, I do believe the assembly could pass a resolution for or against a proposition, but I don't believe that's about it, all you could do as a body.
Well, maybe the attorney could shed some light on this. My understanding of our borough code is that proponents and opponents can submit opinions of up to 250 words on a ballot proposition. You're talking about the borough election or the state election?
State election.
Oh, state election.
Can the borough have a statement regarding the state election?
Oh, I see. Okay.
You would not do that with a candidate. I get that. But with the ballot measure that affects a very significant issue here for everyone.
Well, we generally don't answer questions on this. This is your time to testify, but I would check with Title 15 of the state law. I believe that the official election pamphlet, unless they've changed it, does have an opportunity for opponents and proponents to comment on it. but unless we were the proponent of, or opponent to one of the measures, we probably would not do that. It's generally people who are either promoting the proposition or opposed to it, and we would probably have to vote on that, but I would think that that would be unlikely. We, you know, if we felt strongly about it, I guess we could pass a resolution, but in terms of affecting the state election pamphlet, we wouldn't do that. Okay, maybe we can't even pass a resolution. Is that correct, Mr. Spopoulos?
Just take a look at section 2505090 of the borough code. 2505090.
09050?
2505090.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, Ed, if you have any other comments you'd like to finish up in your time?
No, not really. Just want to get that quick question out there. But
okay.
If that were to happen, it sounds like it won't. Just something that important you need to keep in mind is that I would say stand for Alaska as opposed to stand for salmon. But something to keep in mind and look at as this goes through, this will be a big deal. And I guess I'm kind of surprised. Sounds like you guys don't get a lot of emails or concerns about this. Maybe not right now because you're dealing with the other crisis, but I assume you will be getting questioned about a lot as it is a big issue. So just something to keep in mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to make any public comments during audience participation? Hearing and seeing none, we will close audience participation and move on to the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, would you please read the consent agenda into the record? Oh, let me back up a minute. If this is, Assembly members, you do have a second. If you've had any second thoughts, you can remove something from the consent agenda at this point if you want. But if you don't, we will go ahead. No changes? Okay. Madam Clerk, would you please read the consent agenda into the record?
Resolution 1850, a resolution supporting the construction of a restroom facility on the Alaska State Fairgrounds. Resolution 1851, a resolution nominating Ms. Kirsten Dixon to the Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association Board of Directors to fill the vacant position for the Manuskasitna Borough Director seat. Resolution 1858, a resolution amending the scope of work for project number 47525 to place a tower and communications building and equipment in the Sutton-Palmer area. Resolution 1861, a resolution amending the scope of work for the Aerial Imagery Acquisition Program Project Fund 47519. AM 18064, authorization of purchase from Bering Marine Corporation in the amount of $515,257.50 for sodium chloride. AM 1868, approved utility relocation cost to Manuska Telephone Association in the amount of $116,257.31 for Ryan's Creek Drive Improvements, project number 30043. AM 1869, award of contract number 19023C to Braun Northwest Incorporated in the contract amount of $644,312 to remount and refurbish four ambulances. AM 1870, awarded bid number 19002B to GMG General Incorporated for the contract amount of $124,665 for the Dorothy Swanda Jones parking lot rehabilitation. AM 1872, approval of contract amendment for contract number 18112B to Jim Pasenic Construction LLC in the amount of $200,000 for the Redane Avenue Extension Project, project number 7501, fund 490, and to extend the time to complete the project to October 31st, 2018. AM 1873, approval of change order for contract 17036B with Boutette Company Incorporated in the amount of $20,200 for the Recreational and Cultural Interest Area Sign Program, project number 1535, fund 480. AM 1874, approval of election officials for the October 2nd, 2018 regular borough election. AM 1875, authorization to purchase from Swiss Phone, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $255,000 for voice pagers for emergency services. AM 1876, awarded bid number 1912B to Dirt Works Incorporated in the contract amount of $553,769.16 for Ryan's Creek Drive and Lazy Lake Drive improvements. AM 1877, awarded bid number 196B to Specialized Pavement Marking Incorporated in the contract amount of $122,804.88 for 2018 road striping.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Assemblymember Leonard, would you please move the consent agenda?
Yes, I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved as read into the record. We are under unfinished business now. I don't believe there is any unfinished business. I believe there are no vetoes. We are now under new business. Madam Clerk, would you please read introductions into the record?
Introductions for public hearing on August 21st are Ordinance 1830, Ordinance 1870, Ordinance 1877, Ordinance 1882 with accompanying Resolution 1853, Ordinance 1883 with accompanying Resolution 1884, Ordinance 1885, Ordinance 1886, Ordinance 1888 with accompanying Resolution 1859.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Assemblymember Leonard, would you please move these introductions?
I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for August 21st, 2018.
Thank you, Assemblymember Leonard. Are there any objections to the introductions as read? Hearing and seeing no objections, the introductions will be on the agenda on the 21st of August, 2018. Mayoral nominations and appointments, I don't believe there are any at this time. Other new business, Madam Clerk, would you please read ordinance 18-021 into the record.
An ordinance amending MSB 1763 racetrack regulations by amending the applicability and making the standards more consistent within borough code.
Assemblymember Doty, would you please introduce the legislation?
Assemblymember Sykes, the legislation is already on the floor. It's been adopted. Basically, what we have now is just an amendment. The main motion is still going to be adopted.
So I move to introduce the amendment as written, and do I need to read it? This is the amendment to 18-021 that has been presented in writing by Mr. Sykes.
And if I could, Assemblymember Sykes, for the people on the radio, it's an amendment to D2 by adding the words "and shall renew such registration every 3 years." And also adding the words "or renewal" to make D2 read "small-scale racetracks shall register with the borough prior to operating and shall renew such registration every 3 years. Upon registration or renewal, the following shall be submitted to the borough." And to add a number D3 that reads, "if the owner, operator, agent, or land upon which a small-scale operation exists is convicted of more than 3 citations involving a violation of 1763, the small-scale designation is revoked and conditional use permit under this chapter is required." To make changes to E is to add the words "or lose their small-scale designation" to read "commercial racetracks which host more than 10 events per year or lose their small-scale designation are considered large-scale and require a conditional use permit in accordance with this chapter."
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. I'd like to speak to this. I'd just like to summarize the history of this. In May, the original ordinance came up, but a substitute instead of the main ordinance was actually given to the Planning Commission, and it wasn't re-noticed. And then after the Planning Commission approved it and sent it on to the Assembly, normally when you do a conditional use permit, the people in the community or in the area are notified. But in this case, racetracks were addressed in the the special use district in Sutton, but they did not receive notification. And so it went before the Planning Commission with basically people who developed the proposal. And the first opportunity that people had to speak about it was at the Assembly. And so after the Assembly approved it, there was a concern in the community that they got pretty close with this, but with some adjustments, it could be a better, more livable thing. And so I did make the motion to have this. I did visit their community council. The general discussion was one where it was widespread concern that the community be given the opportunity with the owner of the racetrack and concerned citizens to see if some adjustments might be made. And these were reflected in the amendment offered. And the owner of the racetrack is currently outside racing. And he asked if we could do this later after September. And there's no pressure to for anybody else to, nobody else has applied for a permit or anything else. So I've had pretty good luck giving the opportunity of a community to come up with something in a period of time. And so I'm moving to postpone this until November, what is the first one, 6th?
November 6th. If I could, is the day of the national election or the state election. I do believe we canceled that one.
So it's the 20th.
It would be November 20th. 6th
and 20th.
Yeah, talking yes. November, so it'd be November 20th.
So I move that, what that will do, I move to postpone to time certain November 20th. What that will do is give an opportunity for the racetrack owner to get together with citizens. It'll give the opportunity for what is tentatively scheduled to be on the Sutton Community Council agenda in October, and then it can come back to us in November, and hopefully everybody will be on the same page. That may not happen, but at least we want to give it an opportunity. So I would ask for your support. I think it's important going forward that any land use change to either a comp plan or a special use district in any community council gets notification as they would if we had a conditional use permit going in that area. And so that's I think it's the only thing that is really fair to the community, and everybody's pretty much agreed to go through this process. So please support the postponement to November 20th. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to postponement? Seeing and hearing none, the Ordinance 18-021 is postponed to November 20th, 2018. Thank you very much. Referrals is the next item. There are no referrals. Reconsideration. There are no reconsiderations. And now it's time for Mayor, Assembly, and staff comments. First of all, I'll go to Attorney Spiropoulos. Do you have any comments, sir?
Briefly, the amendment to 18021 that was just extended to November 20th, 2018, because it is an amendment to a prior ordinance that was through the Planning Commission, and because it's all the way to November now, it would be my recommendation that the Assembly Direct Manager and the staff to run it back through the Planning Commission just to get their advice on the impact of the ordinance. As long, you know, you're waiting for comment on the, from the Community Council, might as well run it back through the Planning Commission as well. That's all.
Thank you very much. Madam Clerk?
I just wanted to clarify with Mr. Spiropoulos, you're just meaning the amendment and how it affects the ordinance, not making that change and sending the ordinance back through.
Correct. I mean, it's not one of those things that would be technically strictly mandated, but because there's time, because it's going to November, I think staff has more than ample time to just put it on the Planning Commission's agenda to get their input, you know, would be pro forma as per all other types of planning ordinances.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spiropoulos. Did you have a comment, Mr. Manager?
Yes, I do. On our next meeting, August 21st, you'll have the pleasure of having George Hayes sit in my chair. I'll be at the AML conference, and I believe also Mayor Halter will also be there. So we will not be present at the 21st meeting.
Anything else? Mr. Manager, did you have any more comments? Okay, thank you very much. Madam Clerk?
Just wanted to say again, I appreciated the evaluation today, and thank you to all you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your service, and we're grateful to have such an energetic and thoughtful clerk. And now we're down to Assembly comments. Assemblymember McKee.
Is it possible for me to be the last to make my comments today?
I don't know. Does everybody else feel okay with that?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, this is going to be the last time, Mr. Assemblymember McKee. All right, Assemblymember Leonard.
No comments tonight.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment about our previous legislation related to putting on the ballot the question about a road bond with 50-50 match, and just wanted to bring up the issue that I think the voters will need to understand that all ways that we can reach that match, and perhaps some education prior to the vote about whether there's a limit in the amount of an individual bond. Can we individually bond that or not? And I've had that conversation with the attorney, and I think that the finance department has some cost limitations to how the cost of a bond, and whether an individual road, for instance, might find a non-state but a private party that would be interested in matching, and what that might cost the borough, especially when we're talking about what Mayor Cottle mentioned about Herman Road and the congestion issues. If there was a private party that was interested in coming up with a match, what would that cost us? So I'd like to see the manager and the staff consider providing some information about that.
Thank you very much, Assemblymember Doty. Assemblymember Bayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Presiding Officer, or I guess you could say thank you for the promotion. Anyways, I'm pleased that the permanent registration went forward this evening. I think that's a valuable program, and I think a lot of people take advantage of that. Some folks who are unable to afford that payment every year, and I think that's the proper audience. I want to say congratulations to the clerk. You are truly a valued employee and somebody who has gained a lot of respect from the Assembly. So thank you.
Assemblymember Kowalki.
Yes, thank you. And I want to ask the manager and or the deputy manager to check into the issue with the gentleman who had deployed. And if this story is exactly as presented, I think we have a problem that we need to fix. The other items that I'd like to talk to is that I appreciate the support we got for the registration plate thing. I think was an important thing to do. And the road bond. For those out there in radio land, we're talking to empty halls pretty much in here at this point, but I was one of the voters that voted against the road bond going to the ballot last time, and I think it needs a little explanation. Certainly don't not support projects that were listed, but I was pretty disgusted with, once again, the Palmer Wasilla-centric nature of what happened, because I think it doomed the package for failure. Those of you who are around and our assembly junkies watched the rec bond work, and it worked because we included areas throughout the borough, some of them quite rural, and the bond passed. So for those who live on Cherry Lake or for those who live on Beverly Lakes, please understand, I hope those projects are funded, they're necessary, but that was the reason for my vote. Hope you all have a good week. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Kowalki. Okay, Assemblymember McKee, open the Bombay doors.
Okay. Mr. Kowalki actually took what I was going to talk about. I would like to see the manager look at the assessment of what that gentleman said. Okay, that's something that should be rectified on it. It's one of those things. By the way, I have talked to the borough manager again about looking at subcontracting out some of the borough functions. Okay, and it's something that I think that before the budget comes up, the assembly ought to look at and determine whether we wish to continue to as we are now, or if we would like to recommend that certain things be put out for a public bid, a hard dollar bid, not the RFP. RFPs are simply a continuation of a cash register. I don't think the Brewers had a construction project that was completed with in the exact financial time frame that's been put out in the last 3 years, quite frankly, with all the change orders that we get. So I do think it's something that the Assembly should take up before January. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator McKee. Well, I'd like to thank everybody who came tonight and who spoke, who had concerns, and even if you didn't speak, thanks for paying attention to our deliberations here. I'd like to thank the Assembly members for allowing the amendments to have another look on the racetrack. This is a new concept. It's supposed to make it more efficient, more easy, but at the same time, we try and strike a balance with the public, and I'm glad that that's going forward. I appreciate the manager taking a look at the assessment problem. We do have these unusual cases that come up, and I think everybody thinks that there's got to be a way to fix this, so I hope that that can be done. We have one more item on the agenda, which is an executive session, but we've already had one, and I don't think we have another one scheduled. So is there anything else that anybody has before we adjourn? Well, with that, if there's no objection, I will adjourn at 7:37 p.m.